Revelation chapter 10, reading the 11 verses. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them." And an angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and all the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me, saying, "Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land." And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, "Take it and eat it, and it will be in your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey." And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, "You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." May God be pleased to bless to us His Word. Amen. Our theme in chapter 10 of the book of Revelation is quite simple, given to you in the outline. As the sovereign God works out His purposes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the results are bittersweet, both tangibly and spiritually. We find that that's the case in the scriptures which were read for us this morning. One of our objectives in the book of Revelation is to see the majesty of God, the greatness of God, the overwhelming power of our God, the one who created all things in heaven and earth and in the sea, as Revelation chapter 10 gives it to us. In this particular chapter, we do see the gospel of Jesus Christ come forward. We are in the midst of that section of the book of Revelation which lays before us the seven trumpets. And the trumpet sounds are warnings. Warnings and calls to repentance. We have talked about that. Those of you who have been with us recognize that that's the case. Here we have an interlude before the seventh trumpet and after the sixth trumpet. This is similar to what we saw earlier in the book of Revelation. As the seven seals were opened, there was an interlude between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. The pattern is repeated here in the book of Revelation. And the good news of Jesus Christ comes forward. It seems to me this is another way of stating what was stated earlier, when the first horseman of the apocalypse went forth. You remember when the first seal was broken and a white horse, the first seal of the great book was broken, that a white horse went forth, conquering and to conquer. I think this is a picture of the gospel. And here again we have another picture of the gospel. And I say to you, in accordance with the vision, it seems to me this is the case, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is available to those, all those within earshot of it. Let's read again verses 1 through 3. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw... No, chapter 10. I started to read chapter 9 there. I'm sorry. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had on his hand, in his hand, a little book which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. The vision of a great angel, a strong angel, the text tells us. We met a strong angel earlier in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, where a strong angel cries out, asking who is worthy to open the book, which was sealed with seven seals. Here a strong angel is seen in our vision. Remember now, folks, this is a vision. We're not talking about the literal earth here, and we're not talking about the literal heaven here. This is a picture of heavenly things, and John is caught up in the Spirit seeing this vision. And he sees this mighty angel. And this angel is clothed with a cloud. Very often in the Old Testament we see God manifested in terms of a cloud. He descended upon the tabernacle in the form of a cloud. And the Psalms tell us that the God Almighty rides the clouds as a chariot. Here we find an angel clothed divinely in the things of God with a cloud. And there's a rainbow upon his head, causing us to remember the rainbow that God promised after the great flood, making a covenant. This is an angel of the covenant of God. And this angel, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow on his head, had a face like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. This reminds us of the picture of Jesus Christ in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation. This is an angel who represents Jesus Christ. And he is a messenger of Jesus Christ. He is a messenger of the covenant of God. And this angel comes, and in the vision, he plants his left foot on the sea and his right foot on the earth, on the land. Now, this is no small angel, right? This is why I say this is a picture. And you can almost visualize this as a great image on a globe where the image places one foot on the sea and the other foot on the land, symbolic of the pervasive power of the gospel as that gospel comes forth. The sea in the book of Revelation, as I have said before, is symbolic of the teeming, unbelieving nations. And the angel of the covenant comes with authority over the nations. And the earth is symbolic in the book of Revelation of the world systems, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this angel comes and plants his foot on the earth, symbolic, I think, of the fact that the gospel takes power in the world, you see. Seems to me this is the symbolism which is given. And in verse 3 it says, this angel cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. It reminds me of some of these Japanese films where you see these big creatures come out of the woods and roar. But that's not the picture that's given. Here's a huge angel that stands upon the earth and utters his voice, and it sounds like the roar of a lion. He is speaking for the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb who was slain. And in his hand, he has a book. Literally, it's a little book. That's what it says. It's a little book. and it's open. You remember in Revelation chapter 5, the book that was on the hand of God, but that book was sealed. And Jesus Christ had to come to open that book. Now we find a book which is open. And I think this book is, as many of the commentators attest, the book of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And this angel of the covenant is announcing across the world this great story of Jesus Christ. How good that is. You see, many people have access to this book, the Bible, which records for us the deeds of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And from this perspective, I submit to you that the gospel is available to men and women and young people and children. It is unfortunate that too many spurn the gospel, but it is available from this perspective. It is available to all within earshot of it. And Jesus Christ says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I say to you that the gospel is available from this perspective. You see. And we do need to understand that that's the case. And we need to urge men and women to take up this book and read it. To read the story of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, we need to pray. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will come along and bring into their hearts an illumination which will enable them to see the beauty of this gospel of Jesus Christ and grasp this gospel of Jesus Christ and assent to it and trust this Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, in verse 3, again, look at it with me if you would. It says, "The angel cried out with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices." At the same time, the angel, as a lion, roars, proclaiming the gospel. At the same time, the thunder roars. And very often in the book of Revelation, the thunder signifies the judgments of God. This is one way to interpret this thunder. And what it's telling us is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is a two-edged sword. I call the message this morning the bittersweet gospel. And we read from 2 Corinthians where the gospel of Jesus Christ is to some a sweet aroma. And to others, it is an aroma of death, leading to death, because they reject it. Read on with me in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verses 4 through 7. "And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them.' And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there shall be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants the prophets." A voice comes as John is about to write what the seven thunders speak. And the voice says, "Don't write those things. Don't write them. Seal them up." What is the symbolism here? The symbolism is this, dear friends, it seems to me, that for some, when they hear the gospel, it is only like thunder that comes and noise that comes from heaven, and they do not understand it. And for others, that gospel is open and clear, and they respond to it. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ is recorded as saying, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that these things are hidden from the wise and the prudent and revealed to babes." Jesus Christ is thanking His Father that the things of the gospel are hidden from some and revealed to others. It seems to me this is the message. And some simply hear the gospel as noise that comes from heaven. We read earlier from Acts chapter 22, where the Apostle Paul gives his testimony concerning the appearance of Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul says, in that context, that although he heard the voice and he heard what was said, those who were with him, they heard a noise from heaven, but they did not understand what was being spoken. Those things were hidden from them. When Jesus Christ was walking the dusty trails of Galilee, and he prayed that his Father would glorify him, his Father spoke from heaven and said, "I have been glorifying you and I will continue to glorify you." And others who were standing around, what did they hear? Thunder from heaven. They didn't understand those words. They heard, as it were, thunder from heaven. And some were saying, "Elijah is speaking to him." You see, dear friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a sweet aroma to some, and it is an aroma of death to others. It is a bittersweet gospel from this perspective. And I submit to you that many do not hear the word of God as they should, but they do, however, hear the thunder of God's judgment, and they know deep down in their hearts that one day they will die, and then comes the judgment. And they are thumbing their noses at God. In this same section of the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, the angel who stands upon the earth lifts his right hand and swears before God that the end is coming soon. It's not quite yet, but it is coming. And the time is limited, because when the seventh angel sounds his trumpet, the end will come. And I say to you, dear friends, today, the trumpets are sounding and the warning calls are present all around us. Jonathan Edwards was fond of saying that brimstone is falling all around. And for most of us, we look around and we say, "What in the world was he talking about?" The judgments of God are all around us. They really are. One of the big stories in the news from 1995 is the Oklahoma City bombing. Why do such things occur? Such things occur, dear friends, to get our attention, to call us back to God. Seems to me all the people that are commenting on this, even within the church, are missing the mark here. That these things are brought along to cause us to turn around and face the living God properly. You see, I think this is what Psalm 83 is all about. So in part two of our outline, many do not hear the word of God. They do, however, hear the thunder of God's judgment. Oh, may we all hear and take heed. Verses 8 through 10. And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, Go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. And I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. You know, when you think about this, this is a very unusual picture. You have to get it in your mind's eye, because here's John, and he is told, go to this angel. Now, this angel is no small being, standing, as it were, with one foot on the sea and the other foot on the land. And we have to get the picture, it seems to me, that John just doesn't walk up to this angel and say, Hey, give me that book. That somehow John is lifted up to the place in this vision where he can speak to this angel face to face and say that he desires this book. And the angel of the covenant transmits this book to John, and John is to eat it. We are reminded of the fact that Ezekiel was also commanded to eat the Word of God and to chew it up well and to swallow it. You know, anybody that's taken a good health class knows that we're supposed to really chew our food, right? And this is how we really can get the nutrients out of it. And how it is that life is given to us. And so this book is to be eaten. This book is the Word of God. More particularly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is in the vision to be ingested. It is to become a part of John's life. Dear friends, is this not the case with each one of us also? That the Word of God is to become a part of our very lives. So that in the very fiber of our being, this Word resonates continually. There's only one way that that's going to happen. The psalmist says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. We need to hide the Word in our heart. We need to study the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. I'm thinking that we need to do more work in memory. A lot of people in the church today are saying, and in past days have been saying, we need to do less work in memory. I'm saying, I think maybe we need to do more work in memory. Get that Word in our being. And I submit to you that when we ingest that Word, then the Holy Spirit really does have opportunity to work on our hearts and minds, to illumine us so that we grasp the significance of the Word of God. It's only as it gets in that this is possible. And so we need to devour this book. We really do. And so, in verse 9 it says, John speaking, I went to the angel, telling him to give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it. And the pronouncement is made, It will make your stomach bitter, and your mouth, and in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. It's going to make your stomach bitter, John. Why? What is the symbolism here? The symbolism, dear friends, it seems to me, is very simple. There are judgments in this book. Sad to say, but nevertheless, we are interested in only the sweet things of this book too often. And we do not want to hear the bitter things that are in this book. And very often when the Scriptures are read in pulpits in our land, they are read selectively. And all those things which seem unseemly to the human heart and mind are discarded because we want to be positive, don't we? We're in the era of positive thinking. Only this is the way, we are told. And of course, you don't want to say anything negative because people are not interested in that sort of thing. They won't come to church if they hear the negative. Well, that's true. That's true. But I want to tell you something. That once again, this gospel is a two-edged sword. And there is no neutral territory as far as God is concerned. There are those who trust Jesus Christ and receive this gospel, and there are those who spurn Jesus Christ and reject this gospel. And in the end, there will be utter, total bitterness ultimately for those who reject this gospel of Jesus Christ. But there will be the greatest sweetness possible for those who love Jesus Christ and enter His heaven. Verse 11. And they said to me, "You must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and kings." John is to speak the word of God to nations and to peoples and to kings. The gospel must go forward. And if we understand properly, it seems to me, the book of Revelation, we understand that Jesus Christ will be victorious and that His gospel is going forth. And that when we are caught up in the proposition of preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ and making it a priority, we are on the victor's side. Dear friends, do you understand that that's the case? We are on the victor's side. You know, it's sad in many respects that churches are not absolutely burgeoning with people, filled to the brim with those who are anxious to hear the Word of God and follow the ways of Jesus Christ. But they are so caught up in the visible things of the world that they are being diverted from the really important things of Christ. And it's sad. It really is sad. We too must prophesy, thundering God's judgments and issuing Christ's invitation. We must tell people. The gospel is a two-edged sword. You need to come to Christ. You need to come now. We don't know how long we have until the second coming of Jesus Christ. You do not know how long you have in this world. You could be taken from this life this afternoon, tomorrow, the next day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come to Jesus Christ. And if you part this life without faith in Jesus Christ, you are doomed. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. That's the message. And we must prophesy, proclaim the Word of God in this fashion. Will you join me in doing just that? Let's pray together. Father, forgive us of our sins, which are many and great. Open to us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
that it may be for us very sweet and lovely, that it might not be for us a bitter pill to swallow. Grant the grace of your Holy Spirit in our lives to this end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.